Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
This here's the story of Cassius Clay, who changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He knows how to talk and he knows how to fight, and all the contenders were beat out of sight. Sing Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. He floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. Muhammad,
I'm gonna be honest. Let's all sing it. Let's feel it. The greatest of all time.
Oh, my God, the greatest.
Catch me if you can.
You know this song? Have you heard this song before?
I have. I'm Mark Harmon. You're Craig Collins. Yeah. Part two.
Part two. I'm losing my words already.
Man, it is it's borderline surreal to be here at 2:10 in the morning. The day after, I guess, Muhammad Ali
passed away,
74 years old, one of maybe the biggest sports icon this country's ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean,
easily when he was at his height, the number one most famous person on the planet, I would think.
Right. Yeah. I was saying there, this country, it's like he doesn't really belong to this country. He belongs to the world.
Yep.
And he has been battling for a long time, but that's not really what it's about. Like when Muhammad Ali, like that's before my time, right? I mean, I'm born 1973. I don't get to claim, like if Michael Jordan is talked about, I'll claim him all day.
Sure.
Muhammad Ali,
I've got
brothers that are 15 and 20 years older than me. That is their generation. That's where I heard about it. And we just have never had an athlete like Muhammad Ali, a boxer no less, who's on the stage by himself, who took on the Vietnam War, would not fight for this country.
Yep.
People hated him. People loved him. But back in the day, they despised this guy. He was braggadocious. He was out in front of you. He was black, and he wouldn't fight.
Right. He was the greatest. He would tell everyone, "I am the greatest." And I don't think there were a lot of athletes before him that would sit down in an interview and tell you that I am the best at this. No one is better than me.
Right.
Yeah.
And people are bothered by that today. You know.
Yeah. When LeBron does it, people still get upset.
Right. He did it when no one was doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Louis was the...
Well, and I'm thrilled you also mentioned the impact he had outside of the ring.
It's bigger than what he had in the ring.
I don't know if there... And again, this is all before our time, Mark. We both will admit that. And actually, Black Superman, the song that we bumped back with, was the first instance I found out who he was. I heard that song in the car as a little kid, and I was like, hey, who's Muhammad Ali? And then I looked into it, and he's amazing. But he transcended his sport, which I don't think a lot of people had done that. The interviews he gave, the conversations he had, went so far beyond boxing and had such a profound message that you either hated or loved, that his impact is so much more than just beating the crap out of people. And he relentlessly beat some people in the ring, just one of the best fighters in the history of boxing, but also, a political leader, so many other things that he did that we really have to just stand here and acknowledge now that he's passed away.
We do, and there's so much stuff going on as far as people weighing in with their, the great boxers of the world, politicians, the whole thing. I mean, Muhammad Ali connected with so many people. And one of the interesting stories for me is when I would, talk to people from that era, and they would be like, oh, my God, I hated him. I hated him. And then 20 years later, they were like, I feel bad that I hated him. But that was my reaction at the time. So
sure. I think that makes sense, especially if they had another boxer they liked. Boxing was the sport at that time too, wasn't it? It was the.
But he was more like they were hating him because what he stood for, like a powerful black guy at that time.
I know. Yes. No. I understand.
I mean, that's
that
what they hated. Like
I understand.
Ooh,
well, I think some people just hated him for being that braggadocious kind of guy that he was, no matter what. race he was. I think there were some people out there that just disliked how proud of himself he was and that he should be humble and beat people up and then say, like, I tried my best and I'm just lucky to win.
Yeah. Right. No, that's all true. Hey, if you 1942 to 2016, Muhammad Ali, 74 years old, greatest in and out of the ring.
Yeah.
If you were, I'm just curious, I'd love to hear from people that who were alive in his prime and saw him and had thoughts and perhaps didn't, and really didn't like Muhammad Ali and had a life epiphany. Craig.
I know you tend to go that way. You like to get the kind of the both ends of things. I also do want to hear from the people that loved him, the people that think he was impactful and amazing. 312-981-7200. We will take Muhammad Ali calls all night. We have other stuff planned, but with guests in studio, no matter what it is, you have to respect what he did for society, I think, and I think he did a lot. So let's talk about it. 312-981-7200, Muhammad Ali memories, anything.
There's one of his quotes. How would Ali have fared versus other heavy greats? He was asked this at one point. His answer was, I am the greatest. I said that even before I knew I was Muhammad Ali.
That is perfect.
I mean, how beautiful is that, right?
Yeah.
You know, his interviews, the way he would sit down with Howard Cosell.
Yeah. The Howard Cosell interviews alone, they were legendary in and of themselves.
That alone, you had this lunatic Howard Cosell, you know, who, interesting media personality.
Yeah.
Howard, like a lot of people don't know Howard's story as far as the fact that he struggled for a long time to ever get some national footing.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of became this character. This is Howard. And then, but Ali.
Do more. You only did a little bit. I need some more Howard Cosell.
This is Howard Cosell.
That's amazing.
And
that's
I'm
great.
Sitting here with Muhammad Ali. Now, you've been very braggadocious. And, I mean,
I can't do an Ali, otherwise
they,
I would.
I mean, the two of them, what an odd pairing.
Yeah.
What a fantastically odd
Mark,
pairing.
You know, Mark, we have some calls. You asked for them, and you shall receive. First, we have Beverly on the line. Hey, Beverly.
Good morning.
Good morning. You wanted to tell us what you thought about Muhammad Ali?
Oh, he was as Jesus. I knew no one who hated him. We loved him. We still love him. Because he was able to speak up and speak out, and it was wonderful.
I like positive things,
loved
Beverly.
All over the world.
I love that message, but I have to agree with Carmen, believe that maybe some people did dislike him. I would assume that maybe your crew didn't, but...
People of color.
Yeah.
People of color all over the world, we loved him. I don't
awesome.
Know anyone that ever hated him.
Beverly,
I
Beverly.
Play the race car and so forth, but...
The race car's a huge thing with Muhammad Ali.
The time period when he was fighting, it was a giant, giant thing.
Yeah, and we're not playing the race car, we're just talking about race. Because
I understand, but we loved him. I don't know any person of color that hated him.
No, I'm talking about white people, Beverly.
Mark is calling out white people.
I'm most definitely calling out white people.
Yeah.
And...
I know.
So,
but I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah. Well, what's one of your favorite memories, Beverly? Maybe an interview he gave or a fight, anything. Share something with us.
I remember we live in Evanston, and my sons were, my oldest son is 49, and he was in Evanston at the store in our neighborhood, and the children ran
wow.
to him. They were able to meet him and talk with him, and they were so impressed by his size and his gentleness and his kindness and his rhetoric and what he had to say about mankind. And I mean, it was just wonderful, and it was just so wonderful, a role model for the young men.
I agree. I actually met him too, and this is something I mentioned on Patty's show, and I fully agree with you that you see Muhammad Ali, you see the size of Muhammad Ali, but he's such a gentle, he was such a gentle, nice man.
Absolutely.
I sat with him for an entire baseball game. We spent nine innings together.
I knew his first wife.
Yeah.
I was working at a beauty salon in Chicago. I was a new hairstylist, and his wife used to come to the shop, his first wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him. He would come and pick her up, and at the shop, I knew him at that time. So I throughout his entire career, when he came from Kentucky and when he was Cassius Clay, mm-hmm. and when he decided to change his name. And then, of course, during the Vietnam period, it was wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Beverly, wonderful. We have so many other calls. I hate to cut you off. We just want to make sure to get to everybody tonight. Thank you so much for the call.
Goodbye.
In 312-981-7200, talking about the greatest Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. Carms and Collins Part 2 with you till 5. And we can do a whole lot of this tonight.
Yeah.
So, listen, there were, as far as like people of color liking Muhammad, there were a lot of people who loved Joe Frazier.
Sure.
I mean...
No, so, right. When you thought about it from a boxing perspective, I'm sure not everyone was a fan of him.
Right.
You're fans of other people.
And, I mean, he called Joe Frazier and Uncle Tom. I mean, that did not sit well with a lot of people. But he was, you know, and then and he felt in his later years, he felt bad the way he, you know, I'm going to kill the gorilla in Manila. I mean, there was...
Yes, sure.
I mean,
sure.
That stuff is uncomfortable.
Right.
But
it's uncomfortable now. With you repeating it,
but that's what he said. And but that was competition, and he was crawling under his head, or crawling into his head.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, we have some more calls. We'll take one more, and then we got to take a break. But Jim, you're on the line with us. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? I grew up. I was born in '62, and I love Muhammad Ali. I actually owned the 45 that you were playing, and I met him a couple times when I was working at the airport. I met him a couple times. He was the nicest guy, and I think what the record says, he floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee. He was always dancing around, the ring, and then his face is so pretty you don't see a scar. That was the thing about being a boxer. You hardly ever seen him bloody. He never had a scar.
Right.
He was an awesome dude, and
he was hilarious too. By the way, let's just say how funny he was. Hilarious all the time when he said stuff like that, like you can't see no scars.
Jim, did you ever see him live?
Not fighting, but in the airport. Yeah, I met him a couple times. He flew out on an airline I used to work for that flew to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and he'd always sign autographs and talk to us and everything, and he'd sit down and take pictures with us. I met him at least 3 or 4 times. He was just an awesome guy.
It's very cool. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the call, Jim.
312-981-7200. We're talking Muhammad Ali, if you're just joining us, passed away tonight, 74 years old. Been battling Parkinson's for many, many years and complications. He was in a hospital in Phoenix and with us no longer, but we're celebrating tonight. We're also celebrating you. We're also celebrating Carms and Collins. Eventually, we'll celebrate Roger Badish, too.
Sure.
Because, you got to keep Roger Badish involved or else... He'll get mad at us. We don't want that. But Muhammad Ali, the greatest, passing away at 74 years old at 720 WGN.
All you fight fans, you've got to agree. There ain't no flies on Muhammad Ali. He fills the arena wherever he goes. And everyone gets what they pay for. Muhammad.
Yeah.
Was known to have said...
How about when he lit the Olympic flame, 1996, Atlanta, Parkinson standing up there. I get emotional with Muhammad Ali, man. I really do. I don't know if it's where I'm at in tonight or whatever. It's been quite a day over here, Craig Collins, I got to tell you. But Muhammad Ali is somebody who stood up for what he believes in the face of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have to have so much respect for a guy like that. And, I mean, he battled for oh so long. He's really just a tremendous, tremendous icon. 74 years old, 312-981-7200. Late 1963, Clay had become the top contender. He's going to battle Sonny Liston, who was just cracking people. He had Liston had the criminal past. He had ties to the mob. And at that point, he was Cassius Clay. And Clay started taunting him at the time. I love calling him Clay, Cassius Clay. Liston even smells like a bear, and after I beat him, I'm going to donate him to the zoo.
Right.
I mean, that.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Well, and you go from that end or from the opposite end when he beats Foreman. Because there, again, is also that fight against Foreman that I've seen now several times on ESPN Classic. That is, it's the great kind of Rocky Balboa story of the guy that's maybe at the end of his career that still comes back and kicks the crap out of the kid. We have more calls?
The Rumble in the Jungle.
The Rumble in the Jungle.
In Zaire.
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome is that?
Seriously, they fought in Zaire.
Yep.
We have Susan on the line. Hey, Susan, how are you doing?
Fine. I just woke up and was listening to this, and I would never sit down and watch a boxing match in my life, but Muhammad Ali was a wonderful person.
Yeah.
And I'm a girl, and I don't watch boxing, but I'm 66 years old. I think I remember when he was Cassius Clay. But Muhammad Ali was a wonderful, wonderful man.
Beyond what he did in the boxing ring, he was just an impactful person to you. You were not a fan of boxing, but you liked him as a person.
I liked him as a person, and I remember he was in some international Olympics or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's why I remember he had Parkinson's disease. Yeah. And because I'm a therapist and I know what Parkinson's looks like. But Muhammad Ali, and I'm so glad to hear that he was against the Vietnam War.
For sure, Susan. Thank you so much for the call. That is absolutely. And Mark, you were mentioning that, the Olympic Games and what you saw there.
Yeah, and the Vietnam War part. I mean, the fact that I have got nothing against no Viet Cong. I mean, which, by the way, resonated with probably 75% of America at that point.
Yeah.
But it was also viewed as disrespect to the soldiers and to the war that we were fighting. The Foreman fight, one quote from that, Ali, if you think the world was surprised when Nixon resigned, wait till I whoop Foreman's behind.
Hilarious.
Is there anything better than that? He incorporates Nixon resigning and
right.
Watergate.
Now, the guy legitimately could have been a comedian. He was that funny.
Man.
We got more calls. Yeah. Charlie, you're on the line with us.
Good morning. This is Charlie. How are you, gentlemen?
Hello,
good.
Charlie.
How are you doing?
Good. No, I just really want to follow up on when you said that he is really not just America's sportsman. He was the world's sportsman.
No doubt.
And I remember, I mean, I didn't really know him much well when I was a young kid. I was born in 66. But I remember growing back in Jordan, this was way before I came to the U.S., of how famous he was. And I remember one day, my dad said, oh, the fight is tomorrow. I was a kid. I was like, what fight? He goes, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., Muhammad Ali is playing, you know, the boxing match. And I was a little kid, and I'm like, why would they play a boxing match at 5 o'clock in the morning? Not realizing the time difference between, you know, Jordan and here. And then, you know, as I grew older, I met him here at Demask Foundation one time. And as cocky as he was when he was young, this man was so humble at this older age. So he's really one of the greatest.
And amen, Charlie.
He was known all around the world.
Right.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
I mean, there's pictures of Muhammad Ali at the Oval Office. He's with Ronald Reagan, you know, 1983.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. He was a draft dodger.
Right.
And then
he's invited to the White House.
Yes, by a Republican president. I mean, put that all together and just think about that.
Yeah, the impact that he had is undescribable.